Here in the Philippines, today is officially National Bible Sunday, and it's also Pro-Life Sunday. I only know that because it's written in the book, but I have not heard anybody anywhere mention anything about either of these. National Bible Sunday, which comes at the conclusion of National Bible Week, and Pro-Life Sunday, I haven't heard anybody mention. I suppose it's understandable because all the oxygen in the room is used up by COVID and the election. And if people aren't talking about the election, they're talking about COVID. They're not talking about COVID, they're talking about the election. That's it. Can't talk about anything else. And on the world scene, it seems everybody's focused on COVID and on Ukraine and the Russia-Ukraine conflict. But let's set all that stuff aside and let's focus on the scriptures. Let's ponder a little bit what the Word of God has for us. It seems that two things are set side by side here, and it looks like they don't go together. One is the experience of rejection, which is clearly the fate of prophets, and that's what happened to Jesus in Nazareth, rejection. And the other thing is love, which is so beautifully honored in today's second reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous hymn to love. Rejection and love. I say, it seems like they don't go together. When we reject or are rejected, it seems like there's some love missing there. And when we love, we don't reject people. And if we love, we shouldn't be rejected. But when we look a little deeper, actually they go together all the time. And this is what Jesus himself experienced. He is love. He's all love. He came to love. He came to proclaim love and to reveal love, to reconcile. And he experienced rejection. This is a little strange to us, but it's the way it is in our fallen world and in our own hearts. We know the story of Jesus. It started last Sunday with his going to the synagogue in Nazareth and reading from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus, in last Sunday's gospel, revealed that he had been anointed, that he is anointed by the Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to captives, restore sight to the blind. Good news all around. And that means that encounter with his townspeople in Nazareth started out very well. In today's gospel, we get the continuation of what happened, and it turns sour fast. In one moment, they're speaking highly of him, and they're amazed at his gracious words. And in the next moment, they are wondering how the son of Joseph could possibly be worth listening to. And then as Jesus continues to proclaim God's love, they are stung with fury and they become violent, murderously violent. A lot of commentators say about this passage in the beginning of Luke's gospel that what Luke does here is condense the whole story of Jesus into one event. Jesus, who attracted followers and moved hearts and did extraordinary things, and Jesus, who was rejected by the authorities and finally by a mob in Jerusalem and was killed. So now, whether Luke really did condense the whole story or not, I don't know. But it's true that Jesus has both of these experiences of acceptance and rejection. What we're focusing on here is rejection. Maybe we can start with our own experience of rejection. It's a very painful experience to be rejected. One of the worst. A lot of people would say that it's one thing to be struck physically, but if the reason for being struck is accidental or, you know, just a circumstance, it doesn't hurt as much as the rejection of someone. So if someone strikes us because they hate us, it hurts more. And if someone hates us and rejects us, even if they don't touch us, it hurts more. Because rejection is very painful. And that's why a lot of times people will do almost anything in order to avoid being rejected. Will do anything for acceptance. And we know this is true. You see it in young people all the time. Why young people get themselves into situations that they know are no good. It's because they're with their friends and they don't want to stand out as the one who didn't join in. That fear of rejection explains a lot of really foolish and seemingly terribly sinful behavior. In fact, a fear of rejection is one of the explanations for the dynamics of a mob. People have made studies of mobs, riots. How does it happen? I mean, you get normal people, basically good intentioned people, get them all together, and at some point it's as if something takes over and there's a dynamic that moves everybody to, throwing rocks and breaking things and, attacking each other. So how do people get like that? Well, and it happens right here in Nazareth. I mean, these are not bad people. They're not a bunch of outlaws. These are people gathered on the Sabbath day in the synagogue to hear the word of God. So how do they get to the point of being so irrationally violent? Well, usually there's a few instigators. I mean, there's always somebody who stirs up a mob. But if there are enough people who are for a position, what happens eventually is no one wants to be left out. And the bystanders, the weaker ones, in order not to be to stand out as and not to be rejected by the crowd, they just join in. They don't, well, for one thing, they're afraid that if they don't join in, the mob will turn against them. And that's part of the dynamic too. But anyway, fear of rejection is my point here, or the painful experience of rejection. It's so painful and so we resist it so much that we will do almost anything to not be rejected, unless we have something more important to us. Well, what's more important than not being rejected? Love. Maybe you can think of examples of people who can stand alone in the face of opposition, which is what Jesus does here. And that's what Jeremiah does in the first reading. How do people get this kind of certainty, a security, a strength to just stand there in the face of all that rejection? They have to have something else that gives them strength. And the greatest thing is love. In fact, if you read this passage from 1 Corinthians, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. If we don't love, we're nothing. We're just a clanging gong. Make a big noise. If we don't have love, we're nothing. Now, love goes two ways, to love and be loved. We can dedicate ourselves to love, as everyone I think knows is right. Certainly that's what every prophet knows is right. The problem is not always striving to love, but the problem of not being loved in return, that's rejection. How can we continue to love when we're not being loved? Because if we don't have love, we're nothing. Meaning if we don't have love and if we don't give and receive love, we're nothing. We have to have both. We have to love and be loved, both, or we're nothing. Well, the secret here is to know the love of God. If we have God, we have everything. Because if we have God, we have love, and love is everything. And this is how the prophets can stand up in the face of violent opposition and speak the truth because they're not basing their need for love on human affirmation. They're not motivated merely by the fear of human rejection. They have something deeper and more solid. That's the love of God. Love of God. That's certainly Jesus. I'll just share one little thing that came to mind as I was reflecting on this. It comes from a movie. You know, a few years ago, somebody came up with these Bible movies for TV, biblical figures, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Jacob. I can't remember what they all were. But anyway, one of them is Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph. And a scene from that movie came to my mind this morning. Joseph, remember, he's sold as a slave into Egypt, and he has his ups and downs, and he ends up in prison. The Pharaoh has these disturbing dreams about the cows that eat each other and all this. Nobody can explain the dreams, and somebody says to the Pharaoh, well, this slave in jail, this Hebrew slave knows how to interpret dreams. So they drag Joseph into the court of the Pharaoh, and as they bring him in, this is the image that came back to my mind, as they bring Joseph in, now he's a slave, he's a prisoner, he's a foreigner, he's got everything against him. He's not an Egyptian. And he's being brought into the highest level of Egyptian society, and there's all the courtiers and I don't know who, officials. And they bring him in, and they say, when the Pharaoh comes in, you have to bow down. So Pharaoh walks in, of course, he's practically like God to the Egyptian culture. Everybody bows down except Joseph. You remember that scene? Joseph is standing there, and they say, bow down, hey, bow down, you're going to be killed. You'll be killed if you don't bow down. You'll be killed if you look Pharaoh in the face. And Joseph says, I only bow down to God. And he just stands there. It's a great scene. Anyway, and you would think, since the rule is, if you don't bow down, you get killed, you would think he would be killed. But instead, the Pharaoh is impressed. The Pharaoh says, well, at least there's somebody in this room who won't say just what I want to hear. He won't speak just to save his own life. I don't remember exactly how it's put, but it's something like that. Here's somebody who bases his life, this is my words now, who bases his life on something other than the approval of the Pharaoh or the acceptance of the crowd. Here's somebody who has got something else. Now, of course, that's a movie. I don't know how it really happened, but it's something true. See, Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, he knows God. He relies on God. He's building his life on something that is not fear of rejection. Well, this is love. The thing to base our life on is love. Love which is patient, love which is kind. Love is not jealous or pompous or inflated or rude. It's not self-centered or quick-tempered. It doesn't brood over injury. All these beautiful descriptions. Love never fails. Love, it says here, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's something that we can really build our life on. And if we have that, we can withstand anything. So that's, I think, what the word is inviting us to reflect on here. Not to fear rejection. Not to base our lives on the human standards that are common to us all, not to be afraid to be a prophet, not to be afraid to love, not to be afraid to stand as a representative of someone who is loved, a witness of the love of God.